Welcome back to the Sisters in Christ podcast. I'm so glad you're here for part two of our journey through the story of Mary Magdalene. In our last episode, Pam and I explored her incredible encounter with Jesus, how he set her free, changed her life, and how she responded with deep devotion. We talked about what her story means for us today, how Jesus calls us out of darkness, sets us free, and invites us to follow him wholeheartedly. But Mary's story doesn't end there. Today, we are picking up where we left off, at the cross, the tomb, and the moment that changed history. When others ran, Mary stayed. When hope seemed lost, she remained faithful. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he chose her to be the first witness of his resurrection. What does that mean for us as women? What does it tell us about God's heart and our calling today? So, in Pam's words, get your coffee, tea, water, or whatever your favorite drink is, and come along as we dive into the powerful second half of Mary Magdalene's story. In John chapter 19, verse 25, we see Mary at the cross. Her loyalty in Jesus' darkest hour. It says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When most of the disciples fled in fear, Mary stayed." Pam, In our last episode, We talked about Mary Magdalene's devotion to Jesus After he set her free. But what stands out to me is that when others fled, Mary stayed.
She stayed.
Even at the cross, in the darkest moment of Jesus, She remained. Why do you think Mary stayed when others ran?
Like we discussed, Tamara, there was a devotion that Mary had towards Jesus. I don't know if it's because what he had delivered her from, but she was devoted and faithful to him. And I thought about that when I was reading that, and I read the entirety of Mary's story. Devotion is important for promotion.
Wow.
I thought about that.
Devotion is important for promotion.
And yes, we are looking at the story of Mary Magdalene, A woman who was one of the women at the cross. But that is so real for us today as women.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeking something from God? Just be devoted to him. Not because you wanted, you're trading with Christ. Like, okay, God, if I do this, you do this for me. But if you commit yourself to God. You know, Matthew 6, chapter 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I'm encouraging us, encouraging women to devote yourself to God. And I think that's what Mary was doing, that she got up, the Bible says, early in the morning on the first day of the week, and she went. She was devoted to him.
Wow. Devotion before promotion. That's something to really reflect on. Her deep gratitude, I think, led to deep devotion. And Mary had been delivered from 7 demons, as we read in Luke 8:2, last episode. Her past made her deeply aware of what Jesus had done for her. And she could not abandon him, even in his suffering. And we know that she saw Jesus more than just a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many followed Jesus for miracles, But Mary recognized him as the Messiah.
Yeah.
So her devotion wasn't just based on what he could do for her, but on who he is. Mm-hmm. When I think about how devoted she was, would you remain devoted, Pam, to Jesus, even in the hottest seasons? I mean, we talked last week about if you were exposed to the lion's den or if you were in the fiery furnace. But, you know, life happens.
As I study God's word and as we talk about his word and we talk about him and our commitment to him, I am humbled because I'm like, okay, Lord. What test coming now? How can I handle it? I know, and when I look back over my life, Tamara, God has been tremendously good to me. And even times when in the midst of it, I could not see what was going on, I still trusted him. And I, when I look back, I see, boy, God, you had to have been me during that time. But then sometimes in the present, I could get nervous in terms of, God, what will you test me with? So I am humbled. I am truly humbled when I share God's word because all we have is him.
Yeah.
And to cry out to him and ask him for help, but not necessarily us wanting to go through certain things.
I know.
To be pruned and to be tried in order for him to take us to where he needs us to be.
And he is our very present help. I'm so grateful that in the midst of the toughest seasons of my life, and I'm able to just cry out to him and allow him to enter into my weakness. Like Paul says, when I am weak, then I am made strong. And I believe the Lord wants us to be faithful in our seasons of testing and trials. It's easy to follow Jesus when things are good.
Yeah.
But will we stay when we don't understand what he's doing? And Job 13:15 says, though he slay me,
yet will I
trust him. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful statement. That's acknowledging that he is providentially overseeing this test that I'm going through. And in this, I can still trust his character, trust who he is, loving, faithful, just, righteous, good. In the midst of it, I can trust. And then we know that the cross represents surrender. Mary's presence at the cross shows complete surrender. Will we surrender to Jesus when even life is painful? Luke 9:23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. And follow me. That's a real life situation, taking up your cross daily.
Said, take up your cross daily. It's a continuous process.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get saved and then you fold your arms and you stop. Every day you have to rely on him. Every day you have to trust him to take you through. And sometimes we look at situations and think, oh, you know, the way I reacted to somebody who said something to me, it could be that they said something to me that was disparaging, or it could be they just said something to me. The way I reacted was not necessarily the right way, but we don't sometimes think about things like that. We think taking up your cross daily are those big situations like sickness or death or some tragedy, but it's those same little small things, the way we treat people, the way we show love, whether we are compassionate or not. All of these little things that are seemingly little to us are important for us to ask for God's help in dealing with people.
Giving up our right to be right, you know, in conversations with others or even with a spouse, you know, denying yourself means that I could push this issue and probably win this argument or discussion, but I decide to allow.
Yeah, my mom used to tell me when I was a little girl, but I remember so many things mommy used to say. And I used to say, oh, mommy, you just talking all kind of stuff. So she used to say, you got to give up your right for these men wrong, right? I'm like, what that mean? That don't even make no sense. And then you get older and it just means that you don't have to be right all the time, or you don't have to have the last say
your agenda
all the time. So sometimes they may be saying something that is okay, Lord, I can stand back. I can deny myself and allow you to rule. But you know, when I look, Tamara, at the story with Mary Magdalene as well, and we touched on it during the first episode, where women were at every key event in Jesus' life and his ministry, there were women who were there We talked about it. The crucifixion, they were at the cross. The burial and the resurrection. And when I look at Mary Magdalene's role as being the first witness, it just tells me the importance of us women in ministry.
Yes.
And I thought about it. And I know we have a lot of women ministry. And that's good. That's fine. Women of like mind come together, share, and strengthen each other. But me personally, I'm not so concerned about being in women's ministry as I want to be a woman in ministry. Mm. I look at this as God is saying women are important in ministry and not necessarily for me just to be a part of women ministry, but to be a woman who is in ministry.
Yeah. And if we look at Mary's life, she was a woman in ministry because she was able to meet the disciples and Jesus' needs out of her own means. She followed them, and I'm sure she, with other women, were able to provide food and other things that they would need during that time. Mm-hmm. So she was a woman of action, a woman in ministry, a faithful and a devoted woman, and the first witness of the resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
In John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16, it says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.'" That's a serious statement. A serious
devotion
statement.
Again. That same word, devotion.
Almost like a mother. "Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So Jesus chose Mary as the first witness of his resurrection, Pam. What does this say about God's heart towards women? What do you think it's saying?
And you know what is so interesting? Because back in those days, women were not regarded, and their testimony was not considered legally binding. They couldn't go in a court. Nobody listened to them on any level. And so it's interesting, why would Jesus, knowing this, it tells us a lot about who he is, knowing that women weren't regarded, and if she were to go and tell the disciples what he had said, they wouldn't even believe her in the first place. Right? But he still did it. And that's, it goes back to how important he sees us in ministry. And she did go to the disciples.
Yeah.
And they didn't believe her. Mary Magdalene was basically the first witness, the first evangelist.
That's right.
Because he bid her go
of the resurrection. Yes.
First evangelist to go and tell them what you have seen happen today. She was the first evangelist. So they call her the apostle of apostles.
To the apostles, that's a serious statement.
Yeah.
God values women as bearers of his truth.
Yes.
He values women as bearers of his truth.
And that's an awesome responsibility, Tamara.
Mary was given the most important message in history. He is risen.
Yes.
If he stayed in the grave, that would be of no consequence. Our whole belief system would be flawed, Paul would say. He would be most miserable. He's at the end of it. Because the faith that he was teaching, the gospel that he was spreading, was really hinged on not only Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, but him being risen and also him ascending and sitting on the right hand of Father. So this shows that God entrusts women with divine revelation.
believe it or not.
And that's why
women with divine revelation.
As women have to make sure, because we could be emotional beings.
Yes.
We could be emotional and we could probably feel, I guess like anybody else, we could do what we feel in our heart is right. But no, not what we feel, but what we feel God is calling us to do. This is a powerful responsibility that he entrusted to a woman. He's entrusting us with it today.
Today.
And I say, if we do it to the honor and glory of God, we'll be okay.
That's right.
We'll be just fine and okay.
Yeah, God sees beyond societal status. While others may have dismissed Mary, Jesus saw her as worthy of carrying his message. So God values faithfulness over status.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, get it right. Get it right. Put it in the right perspective.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, people like to say, Christians, you know, we're not here for that today. But look at what Jesus is doing, including women and the whole redemptive story. So we give God praise for that, because today, like you said, we can still be truth bearers and carry that word just like Mary.
And a reminder that God equips those that he calls, women and men. But in this case, he stepped out of societal norm and called a woman and put that responsibility on her. And she could have been like, when he called Moses, I can't speak, Lord. I need to get someone to help me. And that's okay. But she ran with it because he equipped her.
Yeah,
to carry that truth.
God qualifies the called. So while others may have overlooked Mary, Jesus qualified her. This shows that God's call is not based on societal norms, but on his purpose and grace. He determines it. Not us. He determines it. So I'm so grateful for that.
And we have to prepare our hearts so that we can be used by him.
Yeah. So how do you think this, even today, challenges cultural norms, Pam? The assumptions about women's roles in ministry.
I say, stay faithful even when others doubt you. That's one of the lessons. When
That's
we look
hard.
At Luke 24, verses 10 and 11. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So even though Mary and the women were faced with skepticism from the apostles, I mean, who were close to God. They were close to God, and they still didn't believe what was going on. She didn't let that stop her. She continued to carry the word. She continued to push. So we as women are called to stand firm in our faith and continue to share God's truth even when we are rejected or underestimated. It's important. Like I mentioned, we have men in our families. We have children. So we have to push.
Yeah.
And we have to push whether we are received or not. Use wisdom. You don't go in a room acting like a mad woman. But you use wisdom to see how you can reach people for Christ's sake.
Yeah. And I think women play a crucial role in God's mission, the proclamation of the gospel, serving in ministry. But from the Old Testament, Deborah and Esther, to the New Testament, Priscilla and Phoebe, Scripture affirms that women have significant roles in leadership, teaching, and evangelism. And we can't get around that. So while we, some of us, not all of us, maybe homemakers, have children and married, some are single, and they can, like Paul says, have a deeper devotion in their singleness in the service of the Lord. And for those who are married, the service to their husband and extended, if you have children, your family. Some of us are even responsible for our siblings and, like you said, niece,
whatever it is, wherever you are placed.
And so in the family life and also in the church family life, women are expected to serve and to also have roles where they can have a meaningful and positive influence in the church life. One of the roles is the Titus II role, where the older women teach the younger women how to love their husband, be discreet, be sober-minded, be keepers of home. You want to also show an example as an older woman to not be a title bearer, mm-hmm. and so forth, and be devoted to prayer, mm-hmm. things like that. So there are ways that we can connect to our church life, mm-hmm. and be a positive influence and be used by the Lord to fulfill His mission and His work in the family of God. And so a woman's role is very important. Mm-hmm. And we talked about proclaiming the good news. In John 20:17-18, Jesus said to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, mm-hmm. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that He had said these things to her. Mm-hmm. Now that's some serious thing. Yep. She mm-hmm. did exactly as He said. Mm-hmm. She proclaimed, "I have seen the Lord." Now I could imagine her heart racing and mm-hmm. Her exuberance and so forth. And then she said what He told her. So Mary was the first preacher yep. of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting myself in trouble with that, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Mary was the first preacher mm-hmm. of the resurrection, the proclaimer
yes.
of the gospel, and sharing that Jesus yeah. is alive. Yes. I have seen the Lord. And that was given to her by Jesus Himself. She didn't maneuver her way in that. And that was a gift to her. To go and tell.
Yes. And you know what it says as well? Faith requires courage yeah. in difficult situations. That was difficult.
I don't even know if she had time to process yeah. all that was going on. She just had to act.
She had courage.
Yeah.
She had courage. And so it's an encouragement to me to stand firm in my belief, even when it's unpopular. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for mm-hmm. the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You said you don't know if she had time to process. That was in her.
Yeah.
And sometimes we look at our own lives and we do things, and then we look back and be like, where did I get that faith or courage
Holy
from?
Holy Spirit working in us yes. to will and do God's good pleasure.
Yes. They showed immense courage
yeah.
when they stood up and carried the word, or went and did what God had told them to do. And it's an encouragement to me to have courage. And see, the thing about these situations is you can't wait until it comes up on you to try to get the courage. You got to be doing this daily. That's why I say seek yeah. Him daily. You got to be in His word daily. You have to be praying daily. You have to be living out His love daily, so that when these difficult times come, you just
get into action.
Go right into, yeah, exactly. You don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to think about it. You've got to move right into action.
Well, if Jesus chose Mary for such a crucial task, mm-hmm. He could use anyone willing to serve Him,
anyone.
Regardless of their background mm-hmm. or societal limitations. And I thank God for that He takes the foolish things mm-hmm. to confound the wise, the weak things. You know, we may select based on what we see. Like He told Samuel, man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. So we must be ready to share the good news as yep. women. Mm-hmm. That's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. And our past does not define our future mm-hmm. in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so Mary, once known for her past struggles, became a messenger of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So no matter what we've been through, God can transform us into witnesses for His kingdom.
Mm-hmm. We gotta let go.
Let go and let God.
Of the past. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Forget the former things. Mm-hmm. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." Mary Magdalene displayed that entirely. Woman with 7 demons, God delivered her. And she wasn't tiptoeing. Well, I had seven demons. I can't walk amongst those that who loved the Lord, didn't have any demons. She stepped into that because some way, somehow, she was able to let go of her past and accept the new thing that God was doing in her life.
Yes, yes. Mary's Magdalene story is one of freedom, devotion, and purpose. She was set free. And the question that I have for the listeners today, are you living in the freedom Christ has given you? She was devoted. Are you following Christ wholeheartedly? And she was called to proclaim. Are you boldly sharing the gospel? Mary's example challenges the idea that women should take a passive role in ministry. Women today should step into their calling, whether through teaching, evangelism, mentoring, or leadership. Let us be like Mary, women who stay with Jesus, support his work, and boldly proclaim his name. Pam, can you close us in prayer, please? Close us in prayer, please.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, for your love, and redemption. Father, I pray that every person listening now would just search their hearts, Heavenly Father. Search their heart to see where they are with you. And I pray they will call out to you, Father. And I pray, dear God, that as your word declared, you will give them the desires of their heart. Help us, Father, to release our past into your hands, knowing that you are the God who restores and renews. Heal every wound. Strengthen our faith and guide us as we step into the purpose you have called for our lives. Help us, Father, to trust you even when we do not see the full picture. Give us the courage to walk boldly, Father, in faith to proclaim your goodness and to be a light to those around us. May our lives bring you glory, and may we never forget, Father, that we are called, we are chosen, and we are deeply loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this Easter journey. Until next time, stay in the Word, stay in prayer, and walk in the freedom Christ has given you. God bless.